The title of the sermon is See a Need and Fill a Need. Just want to let you know it has nothing to do with the animation or cartoon that uses that slogan, so you know it has no connection with that. But before we go into the scripture and the sermon, just want to make a little introduction by saying that Jesus is coming soon. And we see the proofs or the signs that remind us of this reality. Of course, we don't know the time. And we cannot say it's going to be sooner or later. We know that everything reminds us of His coming. And we believe, and we want to believe that it's going to be soon. And just, recent development in the world, in my home country, tells me again and again that the prophecies are true. And we better listen to what God has said in His Word, what He has given us through His prophet, Ellen White, because, when things happen, they wake us up. And then we start realizing how precise the prophecies that God has given us are. You know, when we look around in the world and we see the unrest in the nations around the world, when we look in the political, when we look into a spiritual, a religious world, we see exactly the fulfillment of the prophecies that we have. You know, chapter 35 in the book of the Great Controversy, I encourage you to reread that again, because that unity between the Catholicism and the Protestantism and the spiritualism is happening in our days. And I would like to read one scripture that will help us to understand why we are talking today about seeing the needs and filling the needs. It's very important for us to understand why we're talking about that. And I'd like to turn to Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse... I'm going to read some parts of the passage from verses 25 through 28. And of course, we know chapter 21 is the parallel chapter to Matthew 24, when Jesus gave the signs that will tell people of His coming. Verse 25, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations." Well, let me tell you that it's when it's somewhere over there, far enough from us, it doesn't touch us, it doesn't make a lot of sense, it doesn't, we don't have quite emotional reaction or respond to that, but when it hits home, that's when we realize how serious that is. And of course, my home country is Ukraine, and just having extended family there, relatives there, and know what is taking place, and it's real. When we talk today about respecting the government and you have to make choices, how do you do that? How do you stay faithful to the Word of God and not the political powers? It's real. And praise God that we have some time here, some freedom when we can prepare for those times, but it's real. And it's just a matter of contacting my relatives now and talking to them, or actually reading from the news of the places where they are, where my dad is. It's real. And I just, the point that I want to bring is, let's pay closer attention to the Word of God and the prophecies that He has given us through His servant. But let's read on. That's not the point that I wanted to actually make. So, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. But let's skip one verse and go to verse 28. Now, when these things begin to happen, not when all of them have been fulfilled, but when they begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. It's difficult when your loved ones, when your family is going through things like that, some struggles. It's difficult to lift up your head and actually look up. But that's the command of the Lord. When we see things happening in our country here in America, we are called to look up and lift up our heads, because we know that our redemption is coming, that Jesus is coming. We are not to be sharing fear and choosing parties. We are to be spreading the word of God and to lift up our heads. Now, how do you do that? What can give us that peace? Because besides looking up and caring about ourselves, we are called to actually have room in our hearts to care for people around us. Because the scripture for today, for my sermon, is found in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And we well know those verses. When the Son of Man comes, and we're going to read them, but the point is that at the very end, even though there are so many things to be afraid of, we are called to look up, and we are called to take care of the needs of the people around us. And so I just want to start with this little illustration. It happened two times in a row. As the week of the finals came around, these people appeared again. I was walking on the bridge above the seminary commons, and just a quick glance downward was enough to know that there is free food on the commons today. The hungry students were helping themselves at the tables filled with Korean food. Oh, I love that. And I try this kind of food before. It's delicious. So who were these generous people which decided to feed hungry students when there is no time left for food, only for the finals? And I found a humble paper stand right next to one of the tables. And it was written there, "The food presented to you by LIA. Love in action." That's all. Love in action. So I proceeded to the table, and there were no instructions as to how many sandwiches to take, or rather, no limitations. And nobody gave me any invitations to attend some kind of meetings, conferences, seminars, or programs, etc. It was just that. Love in action. I felt so overwhelmed with the respect and gratitude toward these loving people. I was hungry, they gave me food. I was thirsty, and they gave me a variety of drinks to drink. I felt so good when someone satisfied my needs, especially when there were no strings attached to it. And so on that day, I experienced the words of Jesus written in Matthew 25. Let's read that, just to remind ourselves. We're going to start reading from verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." I just want to pause here. When we read these words, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And in fact, it sounds like Jesus' needs were satisfied too, according to these words. And out of his gratitude, he gives his kingdom to the people. And let me say that after fulfilling my hunger with the delicious Korean food on the seminary commons, the words of Jesus made such a perfect sense to me. And I felt like I would give my kingdom too, to those who gave me food. But when we read on, we realize that there's something interesting taking place. Let's read verse 37 through 40. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I'll tell you the truth. Whatever you did to one of those least, one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me.'" And as it turns out, they actually didn't feed or clothe or visit Jesus. They did it to someone else, and Jesus was so involved in the lives of the people, so interested in their well-being, that when their needs were satisfied, his needs were satisfied also. Now wait, what needs of his were satisfied? Maybe his need is the satisfaction of his brother's needs. Let me say it again. Jesus' need is the satisfaction of his brothers and sisters and children. The needs of his brothers and children. Let me just read one interesting quote from the book Desire of Ages. "Christ identifies himself with every child of humanity that we might become members of the heavenly family. He became a member of the earthly family. He is the Son of Man and thus a brother to every son and daughter of Adam. His followers are not to feel themselves detached from the perishing world around them. They are a part of the great web of humanity, and heaven looks upon them as brothers to sinners as well as to saints. The fallen, the erring, and the sinful, Christ's love embraces, and every deed of kindness done to uplift a fallen soul, every act of mercy is accepted as done to him." Isn't that a wonderful thought to know that Jesus identifies himself with every human being and their needs? That's encouraging. But we can probably relate to that too. You know, when someone does something good to our children, of course, we thank that person and say sometimes, "Thank you for doing that for us." I mean, we understand that concept. When it touches our home, we take it personally, in either way, bad or good. And we thank those people who do something good to us. But what was interesting when I reread that scripture, let me state the common interpretation or conclusion that I usually heard from the scripture. So it would sound like this. So since Jesus identifies himself with his children, let us do the kind deeds to our neighbors, remembering that we are actually doing them for Jesus. Does it sound right? Yes, it does. It sounds right. But just for the sake of the point I want to make, let me exaggerate that a little bit and see if you will agree with that. Even if you don't really care about people in need, do the good things for them because you really do it for Jesus and not for the people. Is that too far? What would you think about this kind of motivation? Do it because of Jesus, not because of the people in front of us. Do you think that's what God is trying to teach us? Let's take a closer look. Let me ask you this question. Did the righteous people realize that they served Jesus? No. Maybe we read somewhere that they said, "Oh yes, Lord, this is exactly what we thought about when we fed the hungry. We knew that we are doing that for you." We know this is not what they said. In fact, they said, "Lord, we have no idea why you said that we actually did it for you." It was not part of their mindset to do something for Jesus. They actually satisfied the need of a needy person. So how do we do that? We already realized that they didn't see Jesus as the object of their care. They saw real people in need. So when they saw a hungry person, they gave food. When they saw a thirsty person, they gave something to drink. When someone had no shelter, they provided a shelter for him or for her. If someone had no clothes, they gave clothes. If someone was weak, they looked after that person. If someone was in prison, they actually visited that person. So the formula, if we can say that word, of righteous people's mindset is very simple. See a need and fill a need. That's it. There's nothing complicated about that. See a need and fill a need. And we can just stop right here. And that will be enough for us to understand. But I'd like to go a little further and touch some interesting aspects of very practical application of that truth. A few years ago, I read the story on the National Public Radio webpage, and that story kind of touched me, and I hope you'll understand why. I'm going to read that to you. So the story goes like this. Julio Diaz has a daily routine. Every night, the 31-year-old social worker ends his hour-long subway commute to the Bronx one stop early, just so he can eat at his favorite diner. But one night last month, as Diaz stepped off the number 6 train and onto a nearby empty platform, his evening took an unexpected turn. He was walking toward the stairs when a teenage boy approached and pulled out a knife. "He wants my money, so I just gave him my wallet and told him, 'Here you go,' Diaz says. And the teen began to walk away. Diaz told him, 'Hey, wait a minute. You forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people for the rest of the night, you might as well take my coat to keep you warm.' The would-be robber looked at his would-be victim like, 'What's going on here?' Diaz says. He asked me, 'Why are you doing this?' Diaz replied, 'If you're willing to risk your freedom for a few dollars, then I guess you must really need the money. I mean, all I wanted to do was get dinner, and if you really want to join me, hey, you're more than welcome. You know, I just felt maybe he really needs help,' Diaz says. Diaz the teen went into the diner and sat in a booth. The manager comes by, the dishwasher comes by, the waiters come by to say hi, Diaz says. The kid was like, 'You know everybody here? Do you own this place?' 'No, I just eat here a lot,' Diaz says, he told the teen. He says, 'But you're even nice to the dishwasher.' Diaz replies, 'Well, haven't you been taught you should be nice to everybody?' 'Yeah, but I didn't think people actually behave that way, the teen said. Diaz asked him what he wanted out of life. He just had almost an empty and sad face, Diaz says. The teen couldn't answer this, or he didn't want to. When the bill arrived, Diaz told the teen, "Look, I guess you're going to have to pay for this bill because you have my money and I can't pay for it. So if you give me my wallet back, I'll gladly treat you." The teen didn't even think about it and returned the wallet. And Diaz says, "I gave him $20. I figure maybe it'll help him. I don't know." Diaz says he asked for something in return, the teen's knife. "And he gave it to me." Afterward, when Diaz told his mother what happened, she said, "You are the type of kid that if someone asks you for the time, you gave them your watch. I figure, you know, if you treat people right, you can only hope that they treat you right. It's as simple as it gets in this complicated world." What really touched me in this story is the fact that when people around us have needs, they look actually scary most of the time. And the person in this story was able to look through that exterior to see the need. And that's why it's not that simple, see a need and fill a need. To actually see the need of the person in front of us, who is scary, it takes courage. But that's what we are called to look at the people around us and see their needs. In most cases, the people with needs are not easy to deal with. We tend to get caught up with what we see on the surface. It is very likely that what we see on the surface will not be the true expression of a real need. And usually it takes some time and efforts to figure out the real need of the person. Now, why would anyone want to take notice of people's needs? And the answer is actually quite interesting for many. I'd like to read you a quote from one source. I'm going to mention that source later. "People looking for jobs that bring satisfaction and happiness should concentrate on professions that focus primarily on serving other people." According to a new report from the University of Chicago, which found clergy to be the happiest and most satisfied of American workers. The most satisfying jobs are mostly professions, especially those involving caring for, teaching and protecting others, and creative pursuits, said Tom W. Smith, director of the General Social Survey at the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago. Let me give you this statistic. It was very interesting. The top three jobs for satisfaction were, first, clergy, 87%, reporting being very satisfied. Firefighters, 80%, and physical therapists, 78%. Of course, the point that I'm making is not to invite you to become a clergyman or firefighter or a physical therapist. The point is that if we are in the business of serving people's needs, we are among the most satisfied people in America. So the reason why someone would want to take notice of people's needs is because filling the needs bring true satisfaction for us human beings. If you don't want to be satisfied, don't pay attention to the needs of people around you. But if you would like to be happy and satisfied in your life, start paying attention to the needs that people have. I'd like to read a few quotes from Ellen White. "It is God's purpose that the rich and the poor shall be closely bound together by the ties of sympathy and helpfulness. He bids us interest ourselves in every case of suffering and need that shall come to our knowledge. Think it not lowering to your dignity to minister to suffering humanity. God has always been involved in the work of care and giving to satisfy the needs of the human beings. He is able to provide us with the resources we need to help people around us. So when the Lord sees that you are faithful in doing what you can to relieve human misery, He will move upon others to provide means to care for those who need help. Those who enlarge their hearts in this kind of work do no more than their duty. And one more quote. Christ is our example. He was the majesty of heaven, yet He did more for our fellow man than any of us can possibly do. Ye are laborers together with God. Let not one needless expenditure be made for the gratification of pride and vanity. Put your mites and your largest sums in the bank of heaven when they will accumulate. Many who have had precious opportunities to wear the yoke of Christ in this most precious line of work have refused to submit to the yoke. It has not been pleasant to practice unselfishness, and they have neglected to make the cases of the poor and unfortunate their own. They do not heed the injunctions of Christ and improve every talent that the Lord has given them, cooperating with heavenly intelligences in gathering souls who will serve, honor, and glorify the name of Christ. So for us, people of God, children of God, living in the last days of this earth, it's a command of God to fill, to see the need and fill needs of people around us. We might be tempted to focus on everything that we, you know, we can find around us. Politics, some messages that we hear around us, maybe fighting those who don't agree with us, or be afraid and live under that fear that something is terrible is going to take place. But we are called to look up, to lift up our heads, and to serve the people around us. Because God is the provider for us. And I'd like to finish with this scripture, Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So when we do see a need, and we become afraid that we won't be able to actually satisfy that need, God is the source. From us is expected willingness to actually make that step. Notice the need. Not run from, but run toward people in need. And God will provide for those needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are coming soon because everything tells us about it. But Lord, we pray that you will protect us from getting into this mindset where we are afraid or where we get so involved in politics or arguments about different points or other things. Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We want to, in faith, lift up our heads to you and have that peace that passes all understanding, that comes only from you. And with that peace, be open to the needs of the people around us. Because when you come, you actually will ask us how we satisfied the needs of people around us. Lord, please, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts so we will reflect your character. Because if Jesus would have walked or would walk right now on this earth, that's what he would do. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that. In Jesus' name, amen.